Listen to shoot the defence. It's unbelievable, Jeff.
Here we go. Hello and welcome to the first ever Shoot the Defence Super Show, brought to you by The Life of A and Pitch the MM, the football fan app that brings a voice to fans. Download the app today on Android and iOS and get involved. It's fun, I promise. I'm your host, Del, and I have a list of guests longer than Dion Dublin's arm. My co-host, as ever, Rodney Geeks is on the phone. Sat beside me is the brains behind FBA 2018 finalist Sofa News and the Chronicles of Harry Simeon.
Thank you. That's a nice intro. Listen, we
haven't had this conversation actually since you got to the final. Did you feel robbed like we were 2 years ago?
We weren't robbed.
We were fucking robbed.
No.
No. How do you think we weren't robbed? The winners were sponsored by the company that was sponsoring the award.
And Colin Moore with the Liverpool lads, isn't it? That was a bit ironic.
And Kian Balagay was invited to the event and was handed an award, even though he wasn't going to go, but they gave it to him anyway.
Yeah.
Anyway, as I'm not bitter.
Who wasn't one?
I'm not bitter.
Not much.
Sorry, Harry, you were saying?
Not much.
I didn't think we'd even get to the last 10. I'm not going to lie, like, I was really proud when we got to the last 10. And then when we went there, I was like, I'd convinced myself that there's no chance of us winning up until I got there. And then I was like, come on, man, please. Like, just imagine we did. But nah, it was a good night. Met some good people.
Who did you meet?
And, well, you know what? Who the best person on the night was? Razor Ruddock.
No,
what an absolute legend. He actually propositioned me, which was a bit scary.
Have you seen his missus? Jesus Christ.
Wait. What sort of proposition is that?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Literally come up to me, he put his arm around me, he gives me a kiss on the cheek and goes, "You're a good looking man, aren't you? Do you want to come back to my hotel room?" I was like, "What?" Nah, mate. I'm all right. I didn't
blame you for a second. Right, okay. There's one there. Yeah, there's a little.
You try saying no to
the razor cuts deep.
I've had a few in him as well. Jesus. Right. Okay. So yeah, that's a nice little icebreaker there. Cheers, Harry. Right. That's not all. Because we also have E-Man from the One Up Front podcast. E, what's going on, man?
I'm good, man. How's everyone doing?
Yeah,
thanks for inviting us on today.
Angus, it's an absolute pleasure. I always keep saying you need to come back on the show, and you're going, "Oh, I'll come back one day," and here you are, end of the season, when it's all said and done. Nothing
left. You know, it's
great stuff. Right, joining E-Man are our good friends, from the D&D Football Factory. We've got D-Man, Double D, and Chad.
Yeah, good evening.
I love the good evenings. It's a very good evening, isn't it?
Keeping it very good.
So we've got D-Man and E-Man.
See, where's the F-Man?
Yeah, D comes before E, so it's...
Yes! And so it begins. Right, okay. Last but not least, to complete the mini battle royal, there is no Andre the Giant. He's dead. Making their shooter defense debut is Michael from 3 in Midfield. Michael, welcome to the show, mate.
Yeah, thanks for having me, man. I'm really happy to be here. First time. It won't be the last time. Hopefully, anyway.
Hey, listen. It won't be. Are you the quiet one out of everyone, Michael?
Hell no.
All right, okay.
I don't think any of them.
Michael, your background makes you look like you're in jail, mate.
I'm just trying to keep it professional. I kicked everyone out. It's like me and you guys, man. No one else is here.
That is just a white background. I'm a little bit worried.
this is going to be like a bull on speed in a China shop, isn't it? Right. Well, I tell you, let's talk about football, and we begin with the FA Cup final, where Antonio Conte had the last laugh on his old foe, Jose Mourinho, guiding his Chelsea side to a 1-0 victory over Man United. Now, Eden Hazard's strike from the spot handed Chelsea their second trophy in 2 years under Conte and saved their season, as Gary Cahill said. Harry, Chelsea sat with a 3-5-1-1 system with Bakayoko and Fabregas alongside Kante to effectively stifle United in the middle of the park, mate. And with the three central defenders behind them, effectively, they had six men while they were defending more central areas. It worked. What did you make of Conte's system?
I thought it worked perfectly. I thought Mourinho, if that makes sense.
Mm.
You know, he
very good.
He went out there and he looked to stifle Manchester United, and credit to him. I thought his use of Giroud was particularly good. He used him as a bit of a battering ram, someone to hold the ball up, and in the hope that Hazard would feed off his scraps. And that's what happened. I mean, for me, Conte is as good a tactician as anybody, to be honest. And I think, you know, he's had a bit of an up and down season. There's been a lot of controversy around whether he's going to be there next season. But you know what? They missed out on the Champions League, but he kind of salvaged the season for me, picking up the FA Cup. So fair play to him. I mean, I think he gets a lot more criticism than he deserves. Mm-hmm. It was clear to me that team, you know, it was great last season, but they didn't have any European commitments. And it was obvious to everyone, I think, that they needed investment. And there was a bit of investment there, but it wasn't the kind of investment they needed to push on. And so, you know, people like Zappa Costa coming in, Morata hasn't really worked out. So I feel a bit sorry for him. But yeah, credit to him. He's done a great job on Saturday.
Joe, the funny thing about Chelsea fans is that when I hear them say, oh, yeah, we spent in the summer and we spent in January, but it was the wrong signings. It reminds me of when we have rain after a really hot summer, when it rarely happens. And they say, but it's the wrong rain. what do you want? I don't understand. I'm going to ask this question to the lads at D&D Football Faction. Now, Hazard tormented United again, as he always does, really. He put in a performance that you'd kind of expect from a big game player. But that being said, it seems that he turns up whenever he feels like it. Do you expect more from him on a weekly basis? And is he actually good enough? Or is he as good as people make him out to be?
Well, to be honest, let me start this one. I've got a problem with Hazard. I do think world class. On you're allowed the off the one, you know, the odd game off. But this guy has seasons where he doesn't perform. Yeah, that following season he does that. To me, I do think he's overrated. I don't think he's one of the elite players, although he has the potential. But I don't think he's fulfilled his potential.
He's sometimes unplayable, but as you said, he turns up when he wants to. He did okay on Saturday. It was a performance. He does have the odd standout big game performance against Liverpool, Arsenal, whatever, but it's not consistent enough. I think since he's been in Prem, he's hit the goals are fine, apart from that season, the 15-16 season after they won the league, when he was just missing for like the whole season. But he's only hit double figure assists once. The goals are okay because he'll get like two against Stoke or Swansea or something like that and build them up. But for me, he has enough quality to be a double-double guy season in, season out, and he's not done that in the Premier League yet.
And he doesn't pass to Chad's boy Giroud. Well.
So,
I don't know if Chad wants to add something quickly on that one.
Yeah,
Chad, what you got, mate? What have you
just
got?
Just to kind of mirror what these two said, my problem with Hazard is if he was consistent enough with the ability that he has and what he can do, he is a danger when he's ready. He's one of the top five in the world if he was consistent. But as these guys said, you can't pick and choose when you want to show up. And I think, to be fair, I think that goes for the majority of the Chelsea squad. I don't understand how you could be champions one season and the next season play so badly and so inconsistently.
That's the thing, though, because they run through him, don't they? So if he doesn't turn it on, it's just so slow and sluggish and lethargic their play. But when he's on it, he's just darting past everyone. You've got Willian doing his thing and opening him up. I was surprised they did so well without Willian in the starting lineup, to be honest, on Saturday, you know? But as you pointed out, they out Man United. They took the lead and they did what they had to do to get the result. All the corners and someone trying something was United, but they just couldn't get through because of how well organised Chelsea were. I'm surprised Bakayoko did so well. As you put, a good tactical move by Conte. You get me?
I think it's Bakayoko's physicality that is his main strength, ironically.
If I could just, sorry, one thing I said after we played Chelsea at Stamford Bridge was how much Wilshere and Xhaka couldn't handle Bakayoko's running. He literally was dominant. He died out in the second half, but the first half he was incredible.
Well, then we saw that at Monaco, didn't we? And that's effectively why Chelsea bought him. I know that he's had a bad start to his Chelsea career, and a lot of fans have got on his back, but let's be 100% honest. How many footballers come from that league especially and hit the ground running? I can't really think of that many off the top of my head that have come from Ligue 1 and have just, you know, smashed the thing to pieces. Honestly, I don't know.
The funny thing still is that probably his best game this season for them was at home to you lot, but they 1-0. You couldn't handle them. So it's like he tried to mirror that game to go and get the result. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. And again, I think it just goes back again to the strength that he has and the quickness that he has. Because Matic is, you know, Matic isn't a slouch, but at the same time, he just overpowered him. Yeah. That's effectively what it was. And speaking of overpowering, a footballer made a man of the match display, and that was Rudiger. Michael, I mean, replacing John Terry might take a while, but this Rudiger fella, he put in a man of the match display in the final. What's your take on his debut season at Chelsea?
He's been very, very average. Average. Oh, indeed. He's not that great. He's been average to the point where I feel like I've watched his performance and I think that he's progressing in a sense of maybe it's his first season. He's settling in at a club. It's new country, new settings, and he's playing for a new team, a new manager. Maybe it'll take some time. Maybe next season we'll see a much better Rudiger, but I haven't particularly been extremely impressed. And I wasn't his biggest fan to begin with in the first place at Roma. So when I watch him, I want to be impressed. And I have not been thoroughly impressed this year. But then these guys know me. When it comes to defending, I'm very, very critical. I do not tolerate any sense of sort of nonsense defending. I mean, I know from my club there's case in point, it's a FA Cup final. Phil Jones is in position, the ball's coming down, he gets two steps back for no reason. Eden Hazard goes clear, goal. Oh, he's down after even they're shepherding him out, but it's taken down after that. Donkey, goal. So, I'm not particularly impressed with Rudiger at the moment, but maybe it's just the first season of a monster, but right now I'm not particularly impressed.
the jury isn't right, mate. This was probably the worst United display in the cup final that I've seen since we lost to Everton in '95, and that was bad. That was bad.
Right out. That was
nowhere to be seen. Listen, let's be honest. Where was the desire? Where was the imagination? I mean, let's be 100% honest. There was too many clear cut opportunities squandered. What's your take on the game?
Sums up our season. Our performance was just our season. Poor all season. I know we finished second and people talk about an improvement. Yeah, it's an improvement where United have finished over the years. There's no life at United. It's been sucked out. I don't know if it's by the manager, by the players, even at Old Trafford.
It's been sucked out by Martial FC. That's what's happened.
It's worrying. I'm seeing signs of Mourinho of it, like his previous clubs, where you know the first year, you know, everyone loves him, and then the second year looks like everyone, you know, he falls out with everybody. As for the cup final, United were poor. There's no quality at United. I mean, you know, we've touched on it. Squad of 23, 24, 25 players. How many world class players do Man United have? Two, at most, three at max. It's not good enough for the size of the club. And you know, Chelsea have been even poorer than United. And what does that say about United? That they couldn't even break down a team that finished fifth in the league? I don't know if they're going to, you know, buy... You know, United need a big clear-up. And I don't know if United have all that money to kind of buy the players that they need, which is worrying.
Okay, well, you mentioned Uncle Jose. I've given Jose a free pass this season because of his trophy haul last season and taking us from sixth to second. Now, next season, however, he has to deliver the title, or at least make Guardiola sweat to the point where he's close to moving to New York again. Iman, well, what are you in the Jose in or out hokey cokey?
It is a proper hokey cokey because I think when it comes to Jose, to be honest, I think he's the best manager out there that Manchester United is actually on the market at the moment. And obviously, he's our manager, but in terms of style of play, I'm not too bothered with Mourinho's style of play. But I just as soon as Mourinho signed for Manchester United, I just simply said, as long as he gets us one of the big trophies, I don't care how he plays his football. How he played the football. So I just think that right now he's two seasons in. The team obviously he's progressed us, but it just doesn't seem like he's got anything more to really offer the club. Because right now we could play attacking football and still finish second and still have no trophies. What's the point of this current style of play when you're not challenging for big trophies? Yes, we got the Europa League, but you know, going forward, what is Jose going to change to make United a better team to be able to challenge for the Premier League? Because right now, this is our fifth season without a title since Fergie. So Mourinho needs to really back up his ideas. I'm personally, I think we still have to keep Jose in, but I understand a lot of the fans that are calling for his head because in terms of man management, it doesn't look like things are, you know, it seems like he's basically prodding all the players and nobody's responding. So Jose is one of those managers where it doesn't seem like he's going to change his approach, and that's quite detrimental to quite a lot of our players. So,
yeah, Rod, we spoke about this on Viva Redama the other day, obviously with Muzzy and Adrian, and we highlighted the problems that we have defensively. Do you think he's going to address them properly? And by that, I mean he's going to spend money on defenders he's actually going to play.
No. Yeah, he has to, but he's going to have to obviously get rid of some first because it just builds up. There's too many players in the squad, so he's going to have to get rid of some. Because obviously Lindelof and Baye is not working because he hasn't really played. He's played Small and Jones, and we've seen what they're like this season. So it's for me, you've got to stick with the manager. You know. A lot of people shouting, "Oh, we don't want him, we don't want him." We can't come like that, we can't come like that. You know, we've got to give him stability, we've got to give him another chance. He obviously improved from last year, from sixth to second. I know he hasn't won anything, but, you know, if we go back 25 years and we have the same platform and the same social media, you know, Ferguson won the last 5 years, he wouldn't have had what we've seen in the last 25 years. So we've got to give him time. He is progressing in the league, all right, we didn't win a cup, but, you know, some of the players have let him down, just the mentality. Like, from Christmas, we've beat every top team, but yet we get beat on Huddersfield, we get beat on Brighton, so clearly a mentality issue with some of the players, and obviously he knows that, he'll have to address it.
Bottlers, that's what I've got to say. Right, we spoke about United and Chelsea, let's talk about the rest of the Premier League, shall we? And lads, D&D lads, City, they won the title with ease. They reached 100 points and Guardiola's penned a new contract. So how much pressure do you think he's under to deliver a Champions League?
First of all, Pep Guardiola is the man. Yeah, those that know me know I'm a big Pep fan and he's playing. Michael's not impressed. But yes, he was brought in to deliver the Champions League. He will be under some pressure and dominate the Premier League with two out of three or three out of four seasons that he's there as a failure. But Man City have to remember they're still relatively new to the Champions League. He's still got the Madrid donor. United are used to winning the Champions League multiple times. So it's PSG already proved that money, so Guardiola can't project and he knows he can't. But yeah, I think eventually, within the 4 years that he's there, he will be expected to at least reach the final, if not not win it. You
Since City got money, I think they've had great players there, and though they've got a couple of league titles, they could be brilliant one week, and then the next week they could lose to anybody. I think now what he's given is an identity. He's bringing a bunch of young players that the next manager will be able to work with as well. And after watching his Monday Night Football thing last week, I think they're really going to go for champs next season. They did this right into Liverpool, because I didn't expect them to go through their group as well as they did. They disposed of Napoli, who and that kind of playing the best football about. But I think really next season, they're really going to go for champs, and that will hit their league campaign. They won't get as many points. So it all depends on how well the likes of Liverpool, Man United, etc., strengthen to see where the Premier League heads next season.
Before Chad steps in, I believe if they didn't face Liverpool this season, they would have won.
So do I, actually.
So they've got a very good chance to play Liverpool.
Not when Ronaldo's there, bro. When Ronaldo's there, they don't do it.
I wish. Yep.
Excellent. Right, Michael, tell me something, my friend, because I know many Spurs fans believe this season has been a success because they qualified for the Champions League again, and because they played away from home at Wembley. That being said, it's another year without a trophy, another season where they've fallen short of the semi-final stage of the FA Cup, and another year. But some key players may leave. It's all about Alderweireld leaving, possibly Danny Rose, even Dele Alli. You know, other clubs sniffing about. How long do you think Pochettino's got before the fans start to turn on him?
They better not turn on him. How dare they? They need to understand something. As a club, I think from Harry Redknapp, when he came in and they were near relegation, and then I think a year or two later he got into the Champions League. They've been a club with steady progression, but they were also nearly ran. So I have a 1 year Champions League and the rest of them Europa League. He's turned into a certified top four club at this moment in time. The one thing they've always wanted to do was finish above Arsenal. They've done that for 2 years in a row now. So they're starting to make the progress that they're looking for. And if it wasn't for a superb Chelsea season, 86 points will usually get you into a league. But Chelsea won 30 games that year, so that season. So I think they got 90 points or whatever. Regardless, there was one superb team that stopped them. They are now a team with that progression. And in this day and age of football where you've got teams that play this beautiful football, and City don't count in this because City play beautiful football and they win. Teams like Napoli play beautiful football and then bottle it at the last few moments. They've got a team that's playing good football and also learn how to defend. Tottenham have bottled it in some situations as well, so they fall into that category. But there is still a progression because they were never big boys in the first place. They're not even big boys now. But they're trying to learn how to become big boys. And when they become big boys, hopefully for them one day, then they can start talking about, well, if you're not getting us to a league title or a proper challenge, then why should you be manager? Until then, they should actually know their place. They are progressing, but they're not big. If they are to lose Harry Kane, for example, I think that's when everything crumbles. Or even Christian Eriksen. Dele Alli would be a big loss. But I think Dele Alli, with the way Tottenham have moved in the transfer window recently and how smart Pochettino is with looking at players, I think he can be replaced. Alderweireld is turning 30. They haven't struggled too much with Sanchez and Vertonghen. So if he was to go, it would be a blow, but I wouldn't think it would be too much of a big blow. Ben Davies has benched Danny Rose. So to be honest, I don't even know what Danny Rose is doing.
He's coming to you.
He's going to Man United, mate.
Well, you know what? Yeah, right now we've been linked with Willian and all these 30-year-old guys, man, is savage. And I'm just tired of that. Let's just talk about Tottenham for now, and forget Man United. I don't talk about them these days. But yeah, they're in a good place at the moment. Honestly, they're in a good place. You finished third. Yeah, you finished third. You finished second. You finished third. Like, you are now a top four side. You are a Champions League team, and we talk about a top six, but Tottenham are a certified top four side within that top six. We know they're making top four because domestically they're good. So just trying to improve on a European scale. You face Juventus, it didn't go too great because you crumbled when they scored and let them score again. The defending.
I want to ask you a question. Sorry to cut you. Right, my issue with Tottenham is they're kind of in a similar place to where Arsenal were, where they've moved stadium now. And now I feel Tottenham have to, they have to make that jump, because the likes of Harry Kane, the likes of Dele Alli, they're not getting paid what someone who's performing like Harry Kane, for example, should be getting paid. So you're going to have to break your wage barrier to keep him. You've got Pochettino, who's there as well, who's doing well at the moment. But if he wants to really, really challenge someone like Pep Guardiola, because eventually top four is not going to be enough. Arsenal fans can tell you that. Eventually, they're going to have to start challenging for the league title as in properly getting close to them or winning a cup. There's only a certain amount of time those guys are either going to accept a low pay or no trophies. So they really need to kind of elevate themselves that little bit further. Do you think Daniel Levy is going to do that? And do you think their players will stick around to do that?
We all know Daniel Levy ain't going to do that. That guy and his stubbornness on keeping money and not giving them the wages that they want is unbelievable. And you know what? From a business standpoint, the way he controls the money is unbelievable. Like, you think about the money he's made from transfers, the way he manages to somehow get these guys to sign contracts and not get the wages they desire is amazing. But yeah, you're right. There will come a time where a team will look at you and say, hey, I can give you 250K right now. What are you going to say? 250K or 90K? They're not going to say 90K. They're going to give that 250 and run away from Tottenham. And one of those clubs will be a club that is trying to win a trophy. Poch has to win a trophy. I'm a big fan of his, but they can only be so long at a club like Tottenham with the resources, the talent, everything that you have there before I look at you and say, my brother, why are you not winning a trophy? Because...
be your manager.
I wouldn't mind him being my manager at all. Like, I'm a big fan of his. So if he was my United manager, I would be ecstatic. But, you know, and I'm kind to him because under Espanyol at Southampton, the pressure isn't to really to win trophies. It's more to have a good cup run and establish yourself in the league that you're in. But at Tottenham, like you said, it's now starting to rise. But I think the difference between Tottenham and Arsenal's position was Arsenal won leagues. Tottenham have not won leagues. So whilst they're on the rise, Arsenal are just plummeting. So that's the difference between the two.
The thing is, with the greatest respect to Pochettino, if he was to join like a Man United or a Liverpool or dare I say a Real Madrid or Barcelona, he's never had that pressure there to have to win a trophy or even a championship. And this is where I have to question his, not his mentality, but maybe his philosophy. Because as an in-game tactician, I don't think he's great. I've never really seen him change his system within a game to say, wow, he made this fantastic substitution and he put this guy on the left and then switched the central midfielder into... I've never seen him do that. Yeah, whereas other managers have done it. Klopp have done it. You know, Guardiola's done it so many times. Even Wenger has done it in the past, you know?
I agree with that.
And the thing is, and to be fair, again, to Spurs, they've got a lot of quality players. And it confuses me as to how none of them have really kicked up a stink about their wages. Mm. Think about it. Has anyone really? I mean, Harry Kane's their highest paid player and he's on 80 bags, you know? Mm. If, like, a Real Madrid came in for him, do you think it's going to be, I love Spurs? Mm. No.
Apart from it. He's gone.
You've got to give me more money.
So Spurs are what Lazio were when they broke up all those players.
There's a flip side to that as well. Buying the players. Because people won't join Tottenham with the wage structure there as well. Players are going to want 200K, you know, a week. If Leeds is going to say, well, if you join Tottenham, I'll give you 100 grand. They're going to be 100 grand. I'm not coming to that.
Not just that. I think we've had this conversation before. I'm pretty sure we have. If they keep Harry Kane, for example, which top-class striker is going to want to go to Spurs, knowing for that they're going to be playing second fiddle to Harry Kane?
That's true. I mean,
what top-class attacking midfielder want to go there and say, okay, well, I'm happy to play behind Christian Eriksen, or I'm happy to play behind Azpilicueta.
They won't win things then if they're not going to buy better players.
This is what I'm saying. This is what I'm saying. If you know Spurs is 1-11, 99% of the time you know that 1-11, right? If Harry Kane's out, they're going to play Llorente. Oh, Llorente is obviously happy because he's 31 years old and he's a battering ram, you know? You tell me, would the Higuain or Icardi want to join Spurs? Of course they fucking wouldn't. Sorry, pardon my language. Of course they wouldn't. with one man up front, especially with Mr. England captain now, because they're turning into Alan Shearer, you can't do anything wrong.
No, no one's ever going to get a game with Harry Kane in the team. Anyway, let's move on to another team. Another North London team.
The only North London team.
Oh, yeah. The only North London team.
That's a lie now. That's a big, big lie now.
Oh, you're going to start somewhere here now, I tell you. Right. The Wenger out boys got their wish. The old man is gone. Not dead, but he's gone. Former players was going to replace him. But can you summarise Arsenal's season? Can you tell us how you feel about Unai Emery succeeding Wenger?
To summarise Arsenal's season, it was disappointing. It was emotional. I've still got Wenger as my screensaver.
Let it go.
It's been tough, but I think as well, it's been sensationalised how badly we've done as well. Because if you think about it, yes, our league has been even up to scratch. What's that? Okay. So our league position, before, obviously, we finished in sixth place, which is not good enough for a club of Arsenal's size. If you look at the cups, for example, we went to the final of the went to the semi-finals of the Europa. So it wasn't as bad, I don't think, as people made out. At the start of the campaign, though, our target was to get Champions League status again, and we failed to do that. So overall, you have to say it's a...
disappointing.
Can I ask you a question?
Yes, you sound. What's the sound?
Oh, it sounds good.
I'm listening.
Oh, yeah, sorry. Are Arsenal a big club in Europe or just a big club in England?
England.
Okay, just making sure. Okay, cool. All right.
I disagree, but I'm being biased, I suppose.
Well, you know,
I'd also like to touch on what you just said about Arsenal as well, not having a bad season or not being as bad as people are making out. As someone that only attends away games, how many victories do you think I saw this season? I actually stopped going on December the 29th after we beat Palace, because even though we beat Palace, we were still awful. And the following game I went to was what game? Newcastle away. And that's the last game I've done. I said I've had enough until this man's gone. And funnily enough, he stepped down after that game.
I've done lots of good.
Can we hear everyone?
I can't hear Shoot the Defence.
No, I can't hear Shoot the Defence either.
Your mic's going.
I think can you hear us?
Yeah, we can.
Yeah, I'm not saying that Arsenal had a good season. I'm just saying that when you take, as Arsenal fans, so we get wound up about stuff that outsiders are looking in at it and they're scratching their heads. You know, Emery, for me, is a good appointment because we're a Europa League club now. He's a Europa League expert. he's going to come in here. He's going to change things up. He's very tactical. He pays a lot of attention to detail. Saw a quote from Joaquin today saying that he showed him so many videos he ran out of popcorn. It'll be interesting to see how the players respond to that, given that they've probably done no tactical work for 10 years or so. So, look, season was disappointing. I'm not going to have a meltdown. I'm just looking forward to the next season. And, you know, we thought it was going to be Arteta. I've managed to talk myself into thinking that was all right. And then the Emery news came out. So, let's see what happens. But, you know what? This is a chance for Arsenal fans to get behind the team again. We don't need this division that we've had because it doesn't help. It's so negative and it just feels like a breeding ground of negativity when you go to the Emirates these days, and I don't like the way it's become.
You mentioned Joaquin. He was being breastfed till he was like 6 years old.
He was a good player. It done him good, obviously.
What's the moral of the story? Being inbred. If you want to be a good footballer, being inbred. No. Right, here's an interesting one. Now, our friends over at Pitch DMM, the app, they did a study, and 98% of Arsenal fans using the app believe their team would finish in the top four this season. I'm quite interested to know if this number will actually be similar or less come August. Now, Rod, West Ham and Everton got rid of your mates David Moyes and Sam Allardyce on the same day. I mean, that's there must be some kind of like butterfly effect, surely. It must have caused an earthquake somewhere on the other side of the world. I don't know. The Hammers are rumoured to be after Man City boss. Well, they actually signed him, actually. They actually got him. See how delayed I am. They got Manuel Pellegrini. And Everton are linked with everyone available when they're dog. They got him tonight. Marcus Silva is Everton manager, Rod.
That must have just happened.
Yeah, well, this guy.
I was on Sky Sports before I came on. It's nearly finalised. They haven't told me. It's nearly finalised, yeah.
Finished?
Yeah, I called
it. Okay, shut up. Right. Right, Rod, I know this could be a fact that... You know the whole be careful what you wish for thing? Mm-hmm. Like we said with West Brom, with Tony Pulis. They wanted him out, they got him out, and they got relegated. I'm not saying that I'm asking you, is it going to be as drastic? I mean, David Moyes and Allardyce effectively saved the West Ham and Everton respectively. Do you think these two managers can keep them up?
Yeah, well, Pellegrini, you know, he's got massive experience. You'd expect him to do well at West Ham, all depending on how they spend it, but you know, West Ham got players that can score goals, so I expect they'll be fine because you know, Malathan, like I say, Pellegrini's been around the block, he's managed at Real Madrid, so he's no mug. And Silva's a bit of a risk, but you know, Everton have got a good squad as well, so if they have in the summer, I think they'll be pretty much safe as well, and could even be floating around the top six, Everton, with the squad they've got. And like I say, if the addition of having an additional striker, which they needed last year, and got rid of Lukaku, and they haven't really replaced him. So if they replace him, and you know, if Rooney stays, and they've got a decent squad, and obviously they might need a centre half because Williams looks like he's on his way out. So yeah, I pretty much think they'll be fine. And it was on the cards, Allardyce and Miles, you could see it, that he was on the way out. And I think both teams will be better off.
Rod, which promoted team next season do you think will sack their manager and employ one of those two again?
Recycling.
With
Wolves,
we've been
safe.
The other teams, Cardiff.
Oh, close to your heart, Rod. Can you imagine if they got David Moyes? That'd be a double whammy for you, wouldn't it? Moyes at United and Cardiff. Jesus.
Allardyce would be worse.
Well, at least he could persuade some players to sign over to his agent, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. As long as it comes a big brown envelope.
Allegedly.
Allegedly, yeah. Yeah, that's... It's a manager merry-go-round, isn't it? They'll obviously get back in the Premier League. So Sam Allardyce, he's got a unique talent. He keeps teams up, you know. Other than that, he's pretty average, but you know, it's not a bad technique to have. He's a bit of a mercenary now, and he's good at what he does, so he'll no doubt get another job next year. Someone's in trouble. David Moyes is a bit of a, you know, Sunderland's damaged him, and so even though he did half a good job at West Ham, you know, it's still his tactics is a bit boring. It's not expansive football. Do people want to watch it? So you know, they're still safe managers, though. If teams are in trouble, you need someone to bury the ship. Both of them could do that.
Yeah, I think David Moyes will probably end up at Celtic. Like I said ages ago, Celtic is the rehab club. Any manager that has got a damaged reputation,
that's not a bad shout there.
Send them to Celtic. There's your rehab right there, and they come back $1 million. You know, look at Brendan Rodgers. There you go, two titles in a row.
Double trebles, hasn't he?
Yeah, two trebles. Yeah, there you go, and then we'll come back to England. Then anyway, right, our friends. D&D Football Factory. I know you've got a Liverpool and Newcastle fan, I believe. Am I correct? Am I right?
Yes.
There you go. Right. So, are either of you disappointed with the league campaign? Because I know Liverpool have improved defensively. They went the whole season on being at home. There's a small amount of Mo Salah. And then Newcastle, on the hand, not only have they stayed up, they've cemented a very respectable position under my pick for manager of the year, Rafa Benitez. I think, was he yours as well?
Yeah,
it was yours. Was he yours?
Yeah, and Wagner as well at Huddersfield for keeping him.
But Rafa Benitez will always be my manager of the year for that rant he had about Fergie. all those years ago.
What a bum. When he says it's a bum, bruv. You can't release a statement like that and not win the title.
Right, gents, have either side exceeded the expectations for the season, and how well do you think they'll do next season?
If we win the Champions League on Saturday, we've exceeded expectations. I wanted a trophy this season, but I thought it would have been one of the domestic cups. But I would have liked to have finished third, just in terms of, you know, we look at the table, it's like, oh, they were fourth last season, finished third this season, but then injuries and prioritising Champions League got a bit too much for the squad and really got strained. We've got so many injuries in the midfield. I was thinking at the stage, we're going to have to call Gerrard out of retirement for the final on Saturday. But we've done all right, man. But Klopp needs that trophy, needs that stamp. He needs to get over this final hoodoo. Van Dijk's done well. He's made Lovren actually look decent. But Lovren still has to go if we're going to emerge as a club. But no, we've done all right. Home form, we drew too many home games, but the main thing was to go unbeaten. Try and get that Fortress Anfield thing back amongst us, because that's what I grew up on, basically. That's one of the reasons that John Barnes, a couple of the reasons why Liverpool in the first place. But we've done okay. Defensive off, which is lost 4-1 to Tottenham. Statistically, we've got the best defence in the Premier League. So there's improvements there. We still need a better goalkeeper. I've had to give Karius enough chances, but that second level against there's a couple places that need to be improved, but I think with Keita coming, there's talk of we get who we set a push next season. But I wouldn't win the Champions League. We've not overachieved. We've done kind of what I expected, Champions League qualification again, and but I wanted a cup. It's been
as for Newcastle, I think it goes without saying they've exceeded expectations by a long way. At best, I thought we was going to finish 12th or 13th, possibly relegated. In fact, I owe Chad a shirt because we had a bet. I actually did think tip them for relegation. Shame on me. But with a championship squad. He's got us top 10. I don't believe anybody's team in here did a double over us. So we took points off Liverpool, beat Arsenal, beat United, beat Chelsea, thrashed Chelsea. So, I think it's been a great season. Comfortable in the end because we secured safety with games to go, which was very impressive. And I think our top scorer only had didn't get double figures for the season. So Lascelles has been outstanding. The loan signings have been very important. Debrasca and
Kennedy.
Yeah. Very important signing. So we're not going to hold on to Kennedy. The keeper, we will. My main worry is Lascelles. There's talk that Liverpool won him. But more importantly, Rafa's staying because West Ham have got Pellegrini, Everton have got Silva. There's rumours that Rafa's already signed a new contract. So we just need to back him financially for the next season. And look, if Ashley's not going to back him, then we need to have the takeover. Whichever needs to be done, needs to be done quickly. So we can make some acquisitions for the season early as well.
I've got a question for you, Double D. I asked you on our show a couple weeks ago, right? So if Liverpool don't win the Champions League, what would you rate your season out of 10? Because I did say I did say about Manchester United, if they didn't win the FA Cup,
win the Champions League, then it's a six.
It's a six, average. And then how long do you give Klopp?
Klopp's for life, man. Klopp ain't
more,
got anything.
More time, because it's still an improvement. We come eighth a couple of seasons ago. It's still an improvement.
Them dark days there.
Beggars can't be choosers, I mean.
Come on, they've gone from Roy Hodgson to Jurgen Klopp with...
Hodgson almost went bankrupt. You have to be realistic and take where you are. We're not the powerhouse that you've got to accept where you are. Teams have got better packages in place. But more money, and at the end of the day, they're in a better position than we are. So we've got to take it bit by bit. But we need to get a trophy, man.
I think there's quite a few clubs that have managers which are kind of at the right level for those particular clubs. And I don't feel that, like, Liverpool, I don't think Liverpool could get a better manager than Klopp. And I think also as well, Newcastle won't get a better manager than Benitez. So, yeah, I think,
Liverpool are losing the Champions League final.
I'm praying.
Hey, Michael, shut up.
Listen. This isn't a vendetta against Liverpool. Anyone that knows me I've said this for a long time. The first year Madrid won the Champions League, I said they were going to win it. The next year Barcelona won it. I still said Real Madrid were going to win the next year. They won it. They won it again. It doesn't matter who they're facing. They're winning the Champions League again. This, you're not stopping it. Mo Salah is not going to turn up and score a hat trick or what was it? Ian Rush that said,
"Put Man United or Madrid." This is
serious
vim. I support FC United of Manchester. I don't support other club. Listen, Madrid are winning the Champions League again. It's just like I said. Whether it was you, it was City, it was Roma, this Sevilla. They're winning the Champions League again. It's just how life goes, man. You guys have to accept it, and then my GOAT will win the Ballon d'Or again. There you go.
You know what? I was fortunate enough to be at that Champions League final last season, and I've never seen Juventus taken apart in that fashion. Real Madrid were just, they steamrolled them. This season, I don't know, there's something doesn't seem right at Real Madrid at the moment.
Yeah, something peculiar in the air.
Yeah, I don't know whether they underinvested because he brought in a few players from Castilla. He brought in a few other players. You know, was that youngster he brought in from Sociedad?
Ceballos.
Ceballos.
Yeah.
Llorente.
Exactly. Yeah. So he's brought in these younger Spanish players, and he's integrated them well. But they don't seem the same unit as they were last season. I don't know. Listen, it's a final, so anything can happen. So
when Benzema's your main striker, scores six goals all season, no problem.
True. Well, our friends over at Pitch DMM, they said that Liverpool fans rated their team's transfer activity as a 2.11 out of 5 in the summer. I'm pretty sure Salah's bumped that up substantially since. So maybe Klopp can do something in the summer to please them again. So yeah, download the app, please. Right, Eman, Palace, Brighton and Southampton, and even Huddersfield, they all survived. Which of the four do you think will be in another relegation dog scrap next season?
It has to be Huddersfield, hands down, for me. I think, I just wonder how much investment that they're going to get in the summer. Wagner's done quite a good job this season keeping them up on 36 points or 37 points that they stayed up with this season. So I'm really hoping that they really invest in the club again to try and keep them up. But I think, yeah, Huddersfield look like the team that most likely go down. But I think Brighton might run them close because Palace will be a bit more ambitious. They'll be a bit more ambitious. And obviously Hodgson said that he wants to stay and try and do a bit more with Palace. And I think Southampton, they just need to really start ploughing all the cash that they've raked in from Liverpool and start actually building a team again rather than just selling off like a used car, different parts. So,
fair enough. Michael, Darren Moore, he's deservedly been given the West Brom job permanently, and Stoke and probably Swansea are looking for a new boss. Last week, we discussed on the show how much we all believe all three need to, do a lot of work to get back in the top flight. How many players from those teams do you think will be back in the Premier League with other sides next season?
I know Stoke brought in Gary Rowett today, so that's an interesting one because I think under Birmingham he was doing a great job and he took them to sixth and they were progressing. But Premier League clubs, English clubs can be English clubs. All right, in terms of the players, I think Jadon Sancho is definitely leaving, and I wouldn't be surprised if he joined another Premier League side. I believe Salomon Rondon may actually join West Ham because Pellegrini worked with him at Malaga and they worked really well. I know he's a big fan of his, and I think he could find a way to make that work and maybe work with him and Chicharito and Lanzini.
Arnautovic
too. Yeah, Arnautovic too. He also went Swansea. I really don't know who for Swansea can come back up. Honestly, I mean,
Jordan Ayew.
I hope not. Because Jordan Ayew just has this relegation bug about him, and I think he needs to go to a league and a team where they don't fight relegation. So maybe somewhere in Russia
or MLS.
MLS will be good for him as well. Can train Zlatan Ibrahimovic and Wayne Rooney there. I mean, Bradley Wright Phillips is doing well at MLS, isn't it? So that's kind of his level. Andre Ayew was silly enough to go back to Swansea. So, I mean, I don't think he deserves to come back up, to be honest. Anyone from Swansea, I'm not sure. Maybe Fabianski. That's the only one I can think of that has an opportunity to leave that club and come back up to the Premier League. Jonah Shaqiri, definitely. And Salomon Rondon. Oh, and Johnny Evans.
Sorry, Harry. Right, you. Bournemouth and Watford finished 12th and 14th, respectively. A territory in the table known as what else did you expect from these teams?
They did their jobs. I mean,
that's all you're going to give me?
Yeah, well, with these kind of clubs, anything above 17 to stay up, it's a respectable season. I mean, you know, you touched on it so many times this season with West Brom. They were 7th or 8th under Pulis and they wanted expansive football. They brought in a new manager. What happened to? They got relegated. So they might as well have kept him and West Brom would have been in the Premiership. I mean,
in the defence, they were a point off the relegation zone when they sacked him. But yeah, I do know what you mean because earlier on in the season they were,
so
pitchforks and burning crosses and everything,
Bournemouth, since they've come up, you know, they've always done well. Watford have always invested a little bit more, so maybe you'd expect a little bit more from Watford. But they seem to sack their managers every year, so there's no kind of continuity with Watford there. I mean, we don't know if Garcia's going to stay next season as well. So, but they did their jobs, and they, you know, Watford have been on holiday mode for the last, 2 months? They stayed up, so, you know, probably same again next season for them.
Fair enough. Harry, I know you're a Claude Puel fan. I've listened to your show on a weekly basis, and you and Dan go toe-to-toe when it comes to Claude Puel. Claude Puel, which is brilliant. It's fantastic. For the benefit of those who couldn't or didn't listen to your show last week, give us your views on Puel's first season in charge, or first full season in charge of Leicester.
The thing is, I'm not even a massive fan of Claude Puel. I just feel sorry for the guy. But genuinely, like, you know, he came to Southampton, his first season in the Premier League, he finished 8th, and he got to the League Cup final, which you guys as Man United fans would probably say that they were slightly unfortunate to lose.
Mm-hmm.
Right? They should have beaten us on the day.
Yeah.
So he had a great first season. He gets sacked. He joins Leicester, okay, who were in 14th at the time with just 2 wins in their last 9, and they end up finishing 9th. But, I mean, what is wrong with these football clubs? Like, you just spoke about clubs that, you know, what more do we want for them? Well, that's exactly the case with Leicester. Clubs like Leicester and Southampton, finishing in the top half is a great season for them. You know, and I don't understand what these supporters want, because I went to Leicester a couple of weeks ago when Arsenal went there, and the amount of grief Claude Puel was getting from their supporters was unbelievable. And they beat us. I mean, what do you want? What do you expect to see? I mean, I guarantee, like, if they bring someone else in next season, which they probably will by the looks of things, you know, he'll have a hard task to beat what Puel's done, where they've ended up finishing. So,
I just problem with Leicester is it's since they won the league, isn't it? It's like the expectation that Leicester, all of a sudden, they think that, you know, they're top guns, and they're not. So I agree with Harry.
I've got a question: some fans, well, a lot of fans' mentalities, and there are a lot of Leicester fans who I think suffer from bipolar disorder, in a sense that you've got them on the one hand saying, oh, we won the league and we'll never see us win the league again, so I don't care if we get relegated and fall to the conference because at least we've seen our team win the league. And they're complaining that they're not getting relegated. What's wrong with you, honestly? Like, you know, I mean, I thought I had anxiety, but these are take them. Anyway, Rod, Burnley earned a Europa League spot, adding to Sean Dyche's stock, so he's probably going to be worth 15 million instead of 10. Now, we've seen many Premier League teams in the Europa League over the years. Some took it serious, namely Arsenal, United, Chelsea, Liverpool, Everton, and even Fulham, while others treated it like a pre-season tour, like the Intertoto Cup, namely Villa, Stoke and West Ham. How do you think Burnley will treat the competition, mate? Because you've got Thursday, Sunday. I know a lot of people have said, well, you know, when they were in the Championship, a lot of their players are still, yeah, you know, they were Tuesday, Saturdays, and a lot of their players are still there. Do you think Sean Dyche will take the Europa League seriously for some sort of, I don't know, romantic side of things for the fans?
I think he'll take it seriously, but, you know, obviously the Premiership, you know, will come first. He's quite an astute manager, Sean Dyche. So, you know, he must, the best thing he can do is save his players. You know, the squad players will obviously play on a Thursday, but, you know, the league is the most important thing because, you know, it could be a tricky thing that Europa League for type five, like they've had a fantastic season, but, you know, it could easily go downhill for him if they get him a few injuries and it's not going their way. It's quite difficult. I don't know why, because, you know, if it's played on a Wednesday, Saturday, it's not so much a mentality thing that if it's a Thursday, Sunday. I don't know why it's different, because it's still to get 2 or 3 days rest, but teams always seem to struggle, especially with if they're not a top four side, they've never got a massive squad. So I think Sean Dyche will treat it with respect, but obviously the Premiership will come first, because, like I say, it could easily go wrong for them, and then the final relegation, last thing they want to do is get relegated. So, yeah, I think they'll take it seriously, but obviously the Premier League will come first.
Yeah, agree with you, mate. Right, in other news, Inter Milan are back in the Champions League after beating Lazio at the Stadio Olimpico, snatching their opponents. Right. Now, Lazio led 2-1 with 12 minutes to go until Dutch defender Stefan de Vrij sighted down Mauro Icardi in the box, and the whole scope of the game changed. The Nerazzurri went on to win the game 3-2, but the focus was on de Vrij, who's actually joining Inter this summer on the free. Right. Yeah, I know you know your Serie A, as does he, but I'm going to ask you this one. This has to be one of the most entertaining or the best Serie A seasons in recent history. I mean, Inter's turnaround under Spalletti has been incredible. A well-deserved league position, though. No?
Yeah, definitely. I guess the table doesn't lie. So over the course of the season, they deserve to be in the Champions League positions. But you're right, the Serie A has been absolutely brilliant this year. Title race almost went down to the wire. I maintained all along that Juve would win it because I just had that feeling. But, you know, Napoli run them close. You've got to give them credit. And obviously the Champions League race went to the final day as well. So, you know,
even the relegation.
Even the relegation, yeah. I mean, it's been an absolutely brilliant season. It's given the league a lot of credibility again, which is great.
Sorry, who won the Serie A league?
Juventus.
Juventus.
Oh, shut up, Chad.
That was a good one. He had all of us.
I'm not going to ask what you're referencing there, just in case.
The other footy debate guys, they know I'm a huge Juventus fan. I was probably a Juventus fan before I was an Arsenal fan. So I've been watching Serie A. Me and Double D have been watching Serie A all season. He's an Inter Milan fan as well. So I definitely like to hear his input and how he thinks their season's gone.
Inter, it's a complex one because they have improved under Spalletti. They started off the season, they didn't lose for like the first 4 months of the season or something like that. But they just threw Genesi and they didn't win a game for like 2.5 months. So they came out of the title race. But a word on Napoli, they're bottle jobs in the end, but they got 91 points. That would have been enough points to win many a Serie A season. So though they did bottle it, they still have done well. But it looks like Sarri might go Chelsea, and then I don't know if they're going to be able to bounce back because it couldn't take one or two players. Inter default improvement.
Sarri's going to Zenit.
That's the talk. Yeah, he's going to Zenit.
Because Mancini left there, didn't he?
Yeah, Italy job, Mancini.
Oh, this is brilliant.
Have I made your day?
Oh, man. You got one fraud in AVB going there. Now you've got another fraud. Sorry. Oh, this is that South Park meme. I'm not going to go into that.
They're negotiating with him.
What would you like to make of Icardi, by the way? Michael Icardi, he's not in the Argentinian World Cup squad, which is absolutely bonkers.
It's a damn shame. Icardi is
the most ruthless finisher.
I've said it. I think I told you guys that he's my best striker on the planet because of how clinical and evil he is as a striker. He's so ruthless. And considering Christian Pavon and Manuel Zanzini are going to the World Cup instead, it just tells you everything. I mean,
What striker do you take out?
I was going to take out any of them. I was going to take all of them. All of them were going to go from in my selection, because as much as Higuain has the reputation for doing what he does best,
one of the midfielders.
Yeah, exactly. I'm just going to one of the midfielders out, man. Lanzini will be going back to Upton Park. So you know, I don't know.
Overload.
He's not going to.
But you know what?
Do you guys think that they have too many options there?
The reason why I want them to take so many forwards is because of this. There is this narrative that a certain man carries them in everything that he does. Despite the fact that in that final in 2014, him and Higuain both missed big, big, clear clutch chances. So with another key man there that was the top goal scorer in Serie A, or joint top goal scorer of 29, you have another killer in that team, and it gives you all the ammo to go out there and score the goals and hopefully get through to a final and hopefully win it, because they were fantastic in the last World Cup, but in the final they weren't ready for it. Germany took the thing, but I would have taken him. I don't know why they didn't take him. I hear about this sort of issue about Maxi Lopez's wife and children that I don't think I have to get into that right now, but because that's hella controversial. But I just can't agree with the decision not to take him. It just doesn't make sense to me at all.
And who do you take out of that? Who do you take out of that forward line? That
Lanzini or Pavon? Because I'm what Twitter calls a football hipster. I'm one of those guys that.
Lanzini and I get on.
I'm one of those guys that if I'm up late and I haven't got work the next day and I'm not tired, I will switch on one of those football stream sites and I'll try and find football from any league that's playing football at that time, and I'll sit there and I'll watch it religiously. That's how I managed to learn about so many players from the past. And
that doesn't make you a hipster, it makes you a junkie. There's a difference.
It's a junkie. But Twitter's a hipster, apparently, so you know, the Twitter idiots, though. Pavon, it's not that Pavon is not a good player, he's actually a good player, but someone of Icardi's level, you don't leave a player of that class at home. It just doesn't make sense for the team because it gives you multiple options. If Higuain is not firing on all cylinders,
he will.
Then you got the guy that scored the goals alongside him in that league and turned up on the last day to help Inter Milan get a Champions League position.
Wasn't there a rumour that Messi told Sampaoli not to take Icardi?
Yeah, because of the Maxi Lopez thing. Him and Maxi Lopez are friends. And after the whole debacle.
Not going to the World Cup. Not because of his ability, but because of his reputation.
Argentina
have named their squad, right? And they've included Pavon as a midfield player. So if you look at the four forwards that they've included as forwards, it's Messi, Dybala, Higuain, Aguero. Who do you leave out of that? I rate Icardi, but who do you leave out of that? It's a really
difficult question. I'm taking all five of them.
Yes, I'm saying take five, man.
All five of them. Because Messi's not even a striker.
For me...
You're only playing two then.
Exactly, you're playing two. But for me, right, when you got a boss like Sampaoli, right, who has practically done everything at international level for, you know, he won the Copa America, was it twice?
With Chile,
yeah, right? Twice, so yeah. He's a respected figure. Now,
I just
I'm thinking, well, make a big decision. Make a massive decision. Higuain, Mr. Sitter in the World Cup final. For me, that's enough not to pick him for the national team again. For me.
He's bottled it on too many occasions.
He's done it on too many occasions. Like I said, I was at the Champions League final last season. Where was he? He was nowhere.
Yeah.
Mandzukic overshadowed.
Yeah.
He was a left wing.
Yeah.
He's a left winger. So, sorry, like, mate, you've had your chance. Go away. Aguero ain't going to drop him because Aguero's a goal machine. You'll get your goals everywhere on the pitch. It doesn't matter. So, play Icardi. But, again, what you will find out who's controlling this team is the first game when you see their system. Sampaoli is a 3-1-3-3 man. That's his system.
Yes.
If they go four at the back, mate, that's Messi.
Yeah.
That's Messi all along.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Messi wants Barca and Argentina.
Messi's a dictator. He's actually a dictator. He's the Rumo Garbi of
football. He's a silent dictator, bruv.
He's earned the right. He's a boss.
He has not earned the right at all. When did he need him against Roma? Where was he? When did he need him against PSG? Neymar did it. When did he against Juventus the season before? Who was he? I ain't trying to hear about that guy, man.
Why do you write so hard for Ronaldo? I don't understand it.
This ain't even about Ronaldo. I'm criticizing one man. Ronaldo's gone missing in the past as well. I'm just talking about this guy right now.
Boss.
All right, I'll tell you what, let's talk about another guy because Lazio boss, going back to that game, Inzaghi, he actually refused to pin the blame on De Vrij, given the Dutchman has actually been one of their standout players this season. But I think it's only normal to be a bit suspicious about this. I mean, is it not Harry? Shaking your
Tell me what?
He's going to Inter.
First of all, he is going to Inter, but De Vrij played really well, number one, aside from that error. He actually had a good game. And secondly, the geezer was in tears at the final whistle. Is that someone that...
Because he's still got a house in Rome.
I don't know, man. I think it's... I get why people are talking about it, but based on his performance for the rest of the 90 minutes, I can't say that he was match fit.
But did he need to make that challenge?
Well, I guess it's easy to say that now, though, looking at it.
In hindsight, it's
a wonderful thing. Do you know what I mean? We can look at games of football and say, why did Phil Jones make that challenge?
Because he's thick.
Because Hazard was going, exactly.
The guy's a dub.
Hazard's going wide, and you'd probably back De Gea to save that. But Jones makes the challenge. Like, it's easy to say that, but in the moment, I guess he obviously felt he did need to make the challenge. And I'm just basing it purely on the fact that, like I said, he played well for the remainder of the rest of the 90 minutes, and he was in tears and he looked upset at the end of it. So I don't think.
So can I give you my opinion on this, if I may? Because I'm quite passionate about this. I don't personally believe any players who are on loan from a certain club should play against their parent club or situations like this because it causes controversy. How do you know he's not done that? We don't know, of course.
All right, but
how do you know he hasn't done that on purpose and thinking, well, I'm going to be at Inter next year. If Lazio win, which I'm not going to be here next year, I'm not going to be playing Champions League football when I join to Inter. So let me just do something. So when I go to Inter, I'll play Champions League football next year.
But question, though, if this wasn't Italy, would we be discussing it?
Yeah, I would.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, I would. I'll just give an example on top of my head. For Valencia, scored against Barcelona last year. He's a Barcelona player. Now, hypothetically, Barcelona won the game. But if that cost them the title at the end of the season with their own player scoring a goal, how would he be accepted back at the club? I mean, all right, Niko Kovac is a different scenario, but he was the Frankfurt manager that been buying. He's going to be the Bayern manager in the summer. All right, that is a little bit different because he's a manager, but a player should not play against their parent club. I think he should be banned. There should be no rule for it for me.
If I'm not mistaken as well, Lazio had a few players missing. And so Inzaghi didn't really have much choice.
But he's going to play him because he's one of their best defenders. I'm just saying, in a scenario like this, I mean, he's gone to the last game. And like you said, ironically, he's joining Inter Milan. And he's the one that got sent off. I don't know, it's a bit fishy for me.
Mm. They still conceded another goal after that, didn't they? It wasn't the...
But penalty red card gives the message to Inter. So.
But the red card wasn't... That was a separate incident.
Yeah, but he still got sent off. Which gives the initiative.
My neck's hurting. Rod, what do you make of this, Rod? Bit of a weird one, no?
It's a weird one. What Jan say is just absolute nonsense, all week.
Jeez, Rod.
It's just nonsense. But yeah, it's difficult. It's a strange one, but. No, I don't agree with it that he's done it on purpose because he's a team. I don't agree that at all. Because if he's spent the whole season, the other team, not his teammates, he's just spent the whole season, man. I can't see him doing that. But, you know, it's Italian league.
I didn't say he did it on purpose. What I said is it makes it controversial, the fact of where he's going. That's what I didn't say. I didn't say deliberately he's going and thinking, oh, you know, I've got to do this.
No.
But it makes the scenario that he's joining Inter, you know, especially in the Italian league where we know he's corrupt as well, you know, it's...
No, but basically what I'm saying is, if what you're saying there is the kid's done it on purpose, so he's in the Champions League in a team that he's leaving
Us? No. I said it's controversial because he's joining Inter. It makes it suspicious. I didn't say he did it on purpose. But listen, he's going to go in the dressing room.
Player that's made a mistake in a football match. It happens.
Yeah, but this is where it comes to the point of origin, what I said, that for me personally, he shouldn't be on that pitch to avoid that kind of situation. The fact that he's joining Inter, he shouldn't be playing for Lazio in a game like that.
But he's paid for Lazio. It doesn't matter. That's next season. But now he's a paid player for Lazio. So
But his head is at Inter for next season. So, I don't know. For me,
he's a professional footballer. He's playing for Lazio, so he should be concentrating on playing for Lazio.
So then he shouldn't have a contract with Inter Milan then until the season's finished.
You're just assuming that the way he's thought process is probably not. He's a professional footballer.
Yeah, I am assuming. But then he shouldn't have a contract with another club then until the end of the season. So then this should be banned as well. So in the middle of the season, no, we won't club.
In Italy, it's not uncommon for a player sign a deal with another team. It happens a lot.
I agree, but this is why I don't agree with the situation. Because it's hard for the player himself. So say he scored the winner for Lazio against Inter. So say reverse the situation.
It's hard. Yeah, the professional footballers, why is it hard? They're doing a job. It doesn't matter if you sign with someone next year. Ultimately, I'm concentrating on this year, not next year. I don't understand where you're coming from as a professional footballer. I'm concentrating. Even if I've signed for the team for next year, that's not in my mind. Yes, done, it's out of the way. That's where I am next year. But this year, I'm concentrating because I'm a professional footballer on my job in hand for that show.
I disagree.
Let's move on to Poland. Lovely Poland. I've never been, but I know people from Poland and they're nice. Anyway, right, more final day drama. It's like in Poland. As Legia Warsaw won the Polish title after their game at deadly rivals Lech Poznan was abandoned after home fans threw smoke bombs on the pitch. I thought it only happened in Cyprus, but it happens in Poland as well. Legia only needed a draw in Poznan to seal the title and were 2-0 up with 20 minutes to go. The Poznan fans decided that Legia weren't going to win the title and celebrate on their turf, so proceeded to sabotage the game. The match was subsequently abandoned. Legia were awarded the points and the title anyway. Pointless. Gents, if ever you need an example of cutting your nose off to spot your own face, this is it, isn't it? Only in Eastern Europe, I guess. Iman, what do you make of this?
This is absolutely hilarious. But again, this is a lot of these sorts of shenanigans happen in these lesser known leagues. This could never happen in the Premier League, where it's a bit more organised. And in a sense, I kind of like the fact that the fans love their club so much that they'll just do anything just to cause any sort of destruction in the game. So in a sense, I'm all for fans showing their passion and a bit of stupidity at the same time.
You don't think that wouldn't happen over here?
That's Millwall in a nutshell, bro. That's Millwall behaviour.
You don't think that was Millwall? Yeah,
but no, Millwall
ain't been in the Premier League, man. Could never happen in the Premier League.
Even if it was the Championship, even if it was
it would never happen
relegation,
in the Premier. It would never happen in the Premier.
You're mad. With Mick.
No chance, man. Look how United gave up the title to Arsenal on their home turf. I just think that the teams in the Premier League are a bit too respectful, so I just don't see it happening.
Well, you saw Kevin Keegan lose the plot in '96. I'd have thought he'd be running on that pitch to take out Stan Collymore. That would have been wouldn't it? Collymore closing. Oh, what the hell? And then he gets speared by Kevin Keegan and the baseball bat he brought from Hamburg. Anyway, you have to look that one up. I'm showing my age. Right, finally, Leeds United youth player Jordan Stevens did something unprecedented on Sunday.
Oh my God.
Not only did he retire from the game, but he dumped his girlfriend Sandra on Instagram. He posted a really long message. Shall I read it out?
Isn't he like 12 years old?
he's in the youth team. Yeah, we might as well be 12 years old. He said, I should have that violin music in the background. He goes, I feel like this is the right time for me to say thank you for everyone who travelled this journey with me. I'm set to say that this will be the end of my football career. I'm no longer into it as much as I used to be. and I might have to find myself something new to focus on. I don't know, fishing, I guess. I'm a different person now, or going on Tinder. I'm a different person now, so football and Sandra aren't what I want. Not Sandra and football. Football and Sandra aren't what I want.
It comes as a package.
Exactly. Thought it would be easier to say it up straight than to explain myself to everyone. Thanks to Sandra for being there for me. And thanks to football for occupying, but also stopping me from being my actual true self. Going to Leeds was amazing. I've enjoyed the fame and money. I don't even know who he is. But I'd rather focus on myself now. Sorry for not messaging you first, Sandra, but this is easier.
Wait. Are we talking about 18-year-old Jordan Stephen? And he dumped his girl. And I cannot believe what I'm listening to.
Here you go. Please don't try and look. Please don't try and look for the good in me, because you won't find it. Believe me and everyone else when they tell you that everything towards you was fake. I've cheated multiple times and disrespected you a lot, and I'm waiting to regret it. I thought I loved you, but I didn't. Jesus, I haven't even read the whole thing. I only read it halfway through.
This sounds like a really good R&B song.
Bro, listen, Usher would love this. Hang about, you were just another thing to occupy me. This is more like Alicia Keys, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Or Beyonce. Anyway.
R. Kelly.
Yeah, but R. Kelly urinates on his friend. Anyway, even though you're not... You even thought you're not good enough for me. You will be good enough for someone soon. Sorry. I can't continue. This is ridiculous.
It doesn't
right?
matter. Do
you know what? It's not that. I mean, I'm not trying to be funny. It seems like he's an individual who's suffering either from depression or anxiety or something really bad. Because, I mean, I was laughing at this because it's comical the way it's happened. I mean, I hope Leeds give him the support that he needs, really. Well, what do you make of this, Harry, man?
It's a bit of a strange one, isn't it? I mean... Yeah, like you said, we're laughing at it and we're seeing the funny side of it because it's something unusual, but there is obviously an underlying issue there. And like you said, hopefully the guy's all right. That's the main thing. But yeah, I mean, to dump your missus on Instagram, that is quality. That is quality.
But that, I mean, there's ways of doing things. I mean, I broke up with an ex-girlfriend 2 days before Christmas, probably because she was kind of maintenance. No, she
didn't want to buy her a present.
Oh, she had a weird dad anyway. Yes. But E-Man, have you done anything this weird before? He's laughing.
If I open up my wardrobe, you'll just see all the skeletons coming out. I probably have done some of this stuff, but I was probably about 7 or 8 years old doing stuff like this. But nothing of recent, I don't think.
Michael, you're a hipster. I'm sure you've heard other things. Come on. What's happened around Europe? Surely something can't be as bad as this.
Nothing as bad as this. I mean, personal experience, the worst I've ever done to a girl is don't text me again. And then she texts me back, why? And I just didn't respond. I think he might be going through something. So obviously the clubs are trying to look out for him and make sure he's okay. But concerning his girl, I mean, he's done this publicly. I mean, because he's an 18-year-old Leeds footballer. And obviously, because it's got this much press, because people have seen it. I saw it on Twitter earlier. I was like, who is this guy? Jordan Stevens. And I didn't read the whole story until you just read it. That's a bit mad. That's unprecedented. I haven't seen a footballer do that before. And he's only 18 years old, so he's obviously a growing savage. So, I don't know how they can do it. Just have to help him out. I guess if he's not in love with the game anymore, at 18 years old, then, yeah, there's something going on with him. So
In terms of how he treated her, there's no excuse. Right, and there are numerous professional footballers out there that do it for a living, and they will tell you they don't enjoy the game. The prime example being, who's the left back that was at Tottenham?
Okotu,
prime example. There are numerous other guys that just do it as a job. They just see it as a job, and they get on with it. Like us working people 9 to 5, we may not like our job, but it pays us and we do it. He was in a very privileged position where he was able to get money off of a job, a substantial amount of money. Fair enough, I understand that that's not your passion, but I honestly think that the people around him should be advising him better. And someone, A, needs to take his phone away, and B, he definitely needs to go and sit down and talk to someone, because there are clearly underlying problems there. And he most definitely, whether it's today, tomorrow, he will regret everything he's done. 100%.
Do you know what? You mentioned Asa Okoto. He's actually doing porn now.
fake news.
No, he is.
I'm just saying.
Is he literally doing?
he was enjoying one thing. He's gone on to do something that he enjoys even more.
Oh my God!
What?
He's gonna rip. Michael just quickly switched tabs there.
Who else need to Google as well? Google Jermaine Pennant. Jermaine Pennant started joining in with his missus as well. She's on Babe Station.
Are you serious?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, Jermaine Pennant's wife is on Babe Station and he's joining in doing stuff with her as well.
Right. Okay. So he's playing for Billy Ricky Town, and he sings "The World's Greatest" before every game. Do you think he? And I'm not going to go into that. all jokes aside, man. Do you think this kid's going to get the support from Leeds? I mean, that doesn't seem like someone that's rational to me. That kind of behaviour. I mean, surely he's got friends that have seen him behave a certain way. I hope Leeds actually do something about it.
I doubt it.
A kid at 18 years old. To retire and to retire in that manner. I mean, if that's his official, I mean, obviously you'd expect him to like maybe write a letter to the club. I mean, we don't obviously know if he's done that or not, but if this is how he's announced his retirement through Instagram, through social media, something's not right, is there, mate?
No, 100%.
It's not like, say, some of the fellas say he could possibly have some mental issues, and you know, everyone deals with it different. Or has he just had a couple of wickets and got giddy with social media? I don't know. So if he is in problems, so you know, Leeds United is a massive top club, and I'm sure there are people in house who can look after him, and it's important you've got good parents around you looking after you. You know, if he wants to come away from football, you know, so be it, as long as he's happy, his mind's nice and balanced, and he's not thinking daft stuff and writing pretty personal stuff on a social media platform, then he does need help if that's the case. But, you know, the 18 to retire, it's, something not right.
That's right. Right, gents, that's it for our show. The other gentlemen have disappeared. I think
they're having some issues with one of their phones. I think their battery is about to die. So,
okay. Well, listen, I'll let Chad do the Twitter handle and all that kind of stuff. Where can we find your show, Chad, mate?
So it's DD40Factory_. That's the Instagram. That's the Twitter. Our own personal. Twitter handles. We'll tweet everyone. Don't worry. But the main one, DD40Factory_.
And where can we listen to your show? Because I know you do a live one on Saturdays, don't you?
Yes, we are live on Top Radio every Saturday, 10 a.m. until midday, and then we post it on our SoundCloud, which is Double D's one. It's DUBULDEE. So that's SoundCloud.com/DD.
Great stuff. Thanks for joining us, Chad. Appreciate it, mate.
Cheers, mate.
Michael, hit us. What have you got?
So Free in Midfield. We do podcasts. We try to record every Monday or Tuesday. And you can find us on Twitter, iTunes, SoundCloud, Free in Midfield. That's the number 3 in Midfield. Always enjoy listening to us. And we're always welcome to have any guests on at any time, as long as they love the game. So as long as you love the game, you want to come on and interact with us on Twitter or anything, just shout us out. We're here.
Great stuff. E-Man.
Yeah, you can find us at OneUpFront4231 on Twitter and on Facebook and on Instagram as well. But Instagram, yeah. So, yeah, find us on all three of those social media platforms. We try to record every week, but I think we're working on a few episodes for the upcoming World Cup, and we've got I recently recorded an episode with a Nigerian journalist. So we're going to be doing a Nigeria special coming out in the next 1 or 2 weeks. So yeah, please look out for that. And again, as Michael said, we're happy to have guests on. As long as you love the game and love everything about football, we'll be happy to have you on.
So. I'll listen to that Nigerian show on one condition. You don't talk about that bloody kit.
Do you know what I did? I did a little bit of a spin. So yeah, take a good listen and you'll be surprised.
D-Man, they're a good side, Nigeria, this year, aren't they?
They've got quite a few good young players up and coming, and surprisingly Iwobi actually plays better for Nigeria than he does for Arsenal. Yeah. So which is a bit of a kind of,
I think they'll do well.
Thank you for your input.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Harry.
You can find us either at Sofa Sports Pod. And you can find me at Chronicles_AFC as well. So we got two podcasts, one's general football like this and one's Arsenal. They're both on SoundCloud, iTunes, FNX and Acast.
Yeah, go on. There's something else that you need to tell us that obviously our listeners don't know of just yet. What have you done?
So basically, I've got a book coming out. Should be coming out in the next 2 to 3 weeks. It's all with the publishers now and just finalizing a date. It's basically a diary of Arsenal season. It's called The Chronicles of a Gunner, The End of an Era. And it features interviews with Ray Parlour, Kevin Campbell and Tom Watt. There's some input in there from Keith Hackett and Mark Halsey as well. Looking forward to it. Just hopefully it goes well.
Nick Hallman.
Congratulations, bro. Well done on that, Harry.
Thank you very much, guys. Cheers.
There you go. What do you do with yourself? Apart from, does anyone notice something on his face, by the way?
We can't see.
You can't see. Well, this morning he sent me a WhatsApp picture. He goes, look what I did. He had this massive dent on his head. And I'm thinking, did he get mugged on his way to work or something? No. Do you want to tell the world what you did, all 200,000 listeners that we have?
No.
you know that phrase, getting out of the wrong side of bed in the morning?
Yeah.
Kind of discharge the radiator on the side.
I didn't know where I was.
But you missed his booty out again.
And on that note...
What's your Twitter?
Yannick is Jake.
Excellent. Rod?
At Rod James.
Thank you very much, my friend. Would you like to tell our listeners the special message that we have for YouTube?
Push the like and subscribe button.
Thank you very much. There you go. See? So we're on Twitter at Shoot the Defence. We have a Facebook group page. You have a Facebook group page as well. I think everyone does.
We do, but we don't really use it that much
anymore. Well, you guys have, don't you?
Yeah, we've got a Facebook group as well.
Yeah, everyone's got a Facebook group page. So join the Facebook group pages. It's fun. It's interesting. Yeah. Right, that's it. That's our super show for the night. We've gone on for almost an hour and a half. I'd like to thank all of our guests, all of our listeners, everyone that's contributed over the past season. We're going to be back with World Cup episodes. I hope you guys that have been here now can join us again. We'll do a World Cup, won't we? We'll do a World Cup show.
Thanks for having us on, still.
Yeah, really enjoyed it, man. Appreciate it.
Great. So, guys, until the next time we're back on, take it easy.